Hello and welcome to EV 20 Questions podcast number 6, and today I'm going to be talking to Halldór Sigurdsson from Iceland, but he's living in Norway. I met Halldór through the Facebook group that we have, the 2018 Nissan Leaf group, and he knows his stuff. He's had EVs before and he's a Leaf aficionado. At the moment he's got the 2018 Nissan Leaf. Lucky man. With all his experience in driving electric vehicles, Halldór's got plenty of knowledge about how to get the best out of your electric vehicle. I think you're going to learn a lot from this chat. So let's get into the podcast.
I've owned, four Nissan Leafs now?
Four?
Four. And the first one I bought was supposed to have a 6.6 kilowatt onboard charger, but it didn't. I didn't find out until 9 months later, so they gave me a new car without paying anything in between.
Well, that was good news, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a 24 kilowatt. And then I traded it for the 30 kilowatt, and that was Leaf number 3. And then maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got my first 40 kilo. I got my 40 kilowatt.
Oh, man, I'm just so jealous.
It's been four Leafs in the household now, and you know, almost as many years.
You must be very happy with Nissan treats you and the quality of the cars then.
Yeah, I mean, there's no complaints. It's actually the best car we've ever owned. We've owned Volvos, S60, T5, Alfa Romeos, and everything. It's not as fun as an Alfa Romeo in the Benz, but practicality wise, comfort wise, it's the best car we've ever owned.
Funny you should say that, because I was just watching a video from the guy on YouTube who goes by the name of Have a Bev or something.
Yeah. Have a Bev Mate. Yeah.
That's Have a Bev Mate. And I think his name's George. Yeah. Anyway, he was just put out a video saying how much fun it is going around Benz with the e-pedal.
Yeah, I saw that also. I just have to try that. But I'm still on the winter tires, so I'm with 16-inch rubber. So I'll put the 17-inch under maybe in April. So they say that the ride is firmer, a little bit stiffer. So hopefully it is a little bit more fun around the bends.
So when you say you're the 16-inch and the 17-inch, I mean, have you got like two sets of wheels as well as like two sets of tires then?
Yeah. Here in Norway, they you can usually 90% of the people buy the Leaf with 16-inch winter tires because there's a big price difference between 16 and 17-inch.
Okay.
And then they give you 17-inch alloys also when you buy the car.
That's not bad. I'll tell you what I've heard as well is that I've heard with the 16-inch rims, you actually get more mileage.
I've heard that also. I haven't really tested it myself, but on the 17-inch rims, I have managed up to 8 kilometers per kilowatt, whatever that is in miles.
I've no idea what that is in miles.
Yeah,
I know people that are using the mileage system. I mean, they're talking about doing 3.8 miles per kilowatt. They're happy.
Yeah, that times like 1.67, then you get the kilometers. I can get the calculator here. Let me see. Mm.
So when did you put your order in for the latest Nissan Leaf then?
Yeah, I mean, that's a funny story. Not a funny story around me always. Well, I went maybe 4 weeks ago just to test drive the new Leaf, the 40 kilowatt. And I was going to place an order for the Tekna, but then I met a gentleman on the way out who said he had ordered 2 Leafs, 2 launch editions, and I could have one of them if I wanted to, and I can have it within a few weeks, he said. And he actually had the color that I wanted, which is the Spring Cloud, but without the leather seats and without the Bose system. So I sat on it for a few hours, and then I decided to buy his car because he had the ProPilot and all the gadgets besides the Bose system and leather seats. So I got my car very quickly, basically.
And did you get the heated seats in that one as well?
Yeah, heated seats front and rear, and of course the heated steering wheel, which is a must here for the northern climates.
I think one of the things here is that we get a different model the Leaf. And so the launch edition didn't come with heated seats.
Okay, yeah.
which is a bit of a shame, really, because, I mean, if I get heated seats on the launch edition, I probably would have stuck with it, you know?
I think what they call it here is they call it like a Nordic edition. That's like I heard that slang somewhere mentioned in Nissan literature, because it has a battery heater also.
All right.
So it heats the battery if it gets below 10 or 15 Celsius for a long period, it'll use some of the juice in the battery to heat up the battery.
Oh, sounds like they know what they're doing. Whether I mean they've got a lot of Leafs going up into Norway, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, there's you see hundreds of Leafs on a day-to-day basis, and the climate is very, very good for the battery.
I don't think the climate is very good for the battery here in Spain, but still.
Yeah, because my old Leaf, or my 30 kilowatt, has 53,000 kilometers on it, and when I got a new it had 82.34 amp hours of usable storage in the battery. And after 53,000, I'm down 2.2% in battery degradation in total.
That's not a lot, is it?
No, that's nothing. That's nothing at all. That's even better than a lot of the Teslas here, where they're seeing like between 3 and 5% battery degradation.
Okay. And are you using the Leaf Spy application to check this out?
Yeah, I use Leaf Spy. I've been using that from day one, basically. And I usually Leaf Spy every day just to see exactly what the battery is doing, and because I like to push the limits a little bit of the car also by taking the battery down once every quarter, meaning taking it below turtle mode and then charging it up all the way to 100%. That's just like one of my battery maintenance routines.
Do you think it's necessary to do something like that to keep the battery in good condition?
Yeah, many people disagree with me, but then again, the facts and figures from Leaf Spy prove that I'm doing something correct, because my battery is one of the best batteries, or my cars usually have the best batteries that they ever see here in Nissan in Norway. So they even asked me what I'm doing differently.
Very good. Maybe I'll give that a try then when I've got mine.
Yeah. I can tell you the whole regime is just once every quarter, take the battery as far down as you possibly can, slowly charge it to 100%, and then it's good to go on a road trip where you have to do like 3 charges in a row where you really heat the battery.
Yeah, because I've heard that when you're doing the fast charging, it does something to the, I forgot what they're called, dendrites or dendrites or something. Anyway, something that says the anodes of the battery that... The fast charging really sort of clears up.
That's what shortens out the cells. You have dendrites that form over a period of time, and it's like these fine crystalline hairs that can go into the electrolyte and can short out the battery. By quick charging and bringing up a little heat, it gets like cleanses those dendrites.
Okay, well, something else to bear in mind as well. How long do you expect to keep this car anyway, this new one you've got?
Well, my wife is laughing, saying that I probably won't have more than a year. But I think this one is going to be a keeper.
Okay, you won't get itchy feet when this new 60 kilowatt hour comes out.
No, because for our usage, this is more than enough. We've even taken our 30 kilowatt twice to Lithuania. My wife is from Lithuania, so we've driven from all the way from Norway to Stockholm and taken a ferry from there to Riga in Latvia, and driven all the way down to Kaunas in Lithuania.
How long would that journey be in kilometers?
That's 600 kilometers from here to Stockholm, and then it's like almost another 300 kilometers. So it's like 900 kilometers one trip.
Quite a long journey then.
It's quite a long journey, and it's doable on the 30 kilowatt. With a bad charging infrastructure, but now with a 40 kilowatt, it'll make things a lot more, less complicated.
Yeah, well, I was looking at one of the charge maps. I've seen that there's plenty of charging points in Norway. But what about when you get to places like Lithuania and stuff like that? Do you find as much options for charging there?
Not as many options, even though they do say there are some chargers in place. We've had instances where they say there's a quick charger and there actually wasn't a quick charger. But that was last summer. But since last summer, they have probably 5 or 6 new CHAdeMO chargers in Lithuania.
Okay. Is Lithuania a big country?
Lithuania is, what could I compare it to? Maybe from end to end, maybe 400 kilometers. 400 kilometers.
It's not too big,
No, 400 or 500 kilometers, something like that. That's a guesstimate. That's my gum speaking.
Yeah, you have to learn all these terms, don't you? The gum and the SOC and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the SOC is a state of charge.
Yeah, I mean, things to see, leave spy that helped me figure out what SOC was. I almost thought it was an SOB, son of a bitch, but I misunderstood that.
And this leaf spy there, I mean, do you connect using Bluetooth or do you connect using Wi-Fi?
I use Bluetooth.
And is that to Android or to iPhone?
Yeah, to Android.
Okay. And do you leave it connected all the time, do you? I mean, if it's plugged in all the time or just you take it out and put it back in
again? It's always plugged in and always turned on. So it's basically been turned on. The same ODB dongle I bought almost 4 years ago has been on basically for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So it's good,
I got it for like $2 on eBay from China, and it works a charm.
That's cheap, isn't it?
That's cheap. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've noticed that the software is you can get a free version on the Android, and although there's a pro version as well, which I think is about €12 or something like that, or £12.
Yeah.
And then with the one for the iPhone, you have to pay about €21 to buy it.
Yeah, I bought the Pro version, and the only reason I bought the Pro version was I wanted to be able to program my car to have the doors lock automatically when I drive off, just so I don't forget to lock the doors.
Uh-huh. Are there many things that you can do like that?
There's a lot of things you can do with the app, and even more things you can do now with the 40 kilowatt than you could on the 24 or the 30 kilowatt with regards to changing default settings from the factory.
Okay, what sort of settings, things?
For instance, the lights, you can change the lights, how long the lights stay on, like the follow your home lights. There's more sensitivity settings for the automatic lights going on, when it dusk till dawn. So there's more settings there also.
I've been wondering about how the lights work, actually, because it does that thing as well. Will it automatically dip the lights when you've got a car coming towards you? Does that work well?
Yeah, that works well. I tried that the other day. So what you do is you just push the stalk forwards, and then it'll put it into automatic light mode. So it'll turn on the high beam and turn off the high beam automatically for you.
Okay, I think the trouble with that is if you get into another car and you forget to do it, you blind everyone as you're driving that towards them.
Yeah, but it's better because there are instances you're lost in space, you're lost between thoughts, and you forget to turn off your high beams. But now you have you don't have that scenario anymore. The car just does it for you.
That is true. And what about the interior mirror? Because that does something as well with the automatic dipping of the you got someone behind you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I haven't noticed any movement like I thought it would do. But I think what it does is puts a hint over the mirror, so it darkens.
Okay, right, yeah.
It's an LCD display over it that darkens once it sees bright lights from behind.
There's a lot of gadgets in this car, isn't there?
It's full of gadgets. it's just one big Android. Yeah, it's amazing. If you like technology, you'll love this car.
Yeah, I do love technology, and I'm going to love the car. I can't wait to start using the Pro Pilot Assist.
Yeah, and the Pro Pilot is much better than I thought it would be. The car actually drives me to work in the morning.
Do you have to drive far?
I drive 32 kilometers one way, 60 kilometers both ways. So it's on a highway, and even though the lines aren't that very visible now due to snow and wet conditions, the Pro Pilot is amazing. I'm able to read the lines anyhow.
And does it seem weird at first when you're going around a bit of a bend and the car's moving the steering wheel for you?
Yeah, it's quite counterintuitive to what we're used to. But I thought it was going to be a gimmick, like on the Hyundai Ioniq. I've tried that car. I was thinking about that car for months, and that was very unstable. But the ProPilot is a very usable system, but you have to keep your eyes on it because it will just peep, and all of a sudden it's not steering for you anymore. So it's
it gives a double beep when it stops, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gives a sound like you know, you remove your seatbelt sound in the airplanes. It sounds like that.
So what's the best thing that you like about this new Leaf then?
I would say for me personally is the ProPilot and the ProPilot Assist, the intelligent cruise control, because I'm usually stuck in traffic in the morning. So it's quite nice to be able to not think about putting your foot on the accelerator or on the brake. You just set the speed and the car just maintains it for you and steers for you and so on.
Yeah. What's it like in stop and start traffic there? Do you find that you're having to press the reset button very often to get the car moving again?
No. Maybe in the last 2 weeks, I've had to push the resume button maybe twice because only if the car in front of you stops for more than 3 seconds, then you have to push the resume button. But luckily, there hasn't been any really the traffic in front of me hasn't really stopped.
I imagine that pressing the reset button is probably a better idea than just touching the accelerator pedal, which is the other option for getting it started again, isn't it?
Yeah, you have the two options. You can press the accelerator or push the button, but the button seems more, it's more intuitive, because pushing the accelerator, one might think that, okay, the car might accelerate, then all of a sudden into the back of the other car.
Is it just a wee touch on the pedal, is it, or do you have to actually press the pedal?
Just a wee touch, just a slight nudge, that's enough.
Okay, because you'd be kind of afraid of sort of doing it just a bit too sort of forcefully in the back of the car in front.
That won't happen. But I can also tell you another story. The gentleman that I bought the car from, him and I test drove the Leaf actually together, and we were a little bit lost in our thoughts, and he was looking at something on my phone, and then he thought the car in front of him had accelerated and gone off. It was on a junction, but the car didn't move, so he almost rear-ended the car, but the emergency braking system on the new Leaf helped stop us from having a rear-end collision, so we were quite pleased.
That's excellent, isn't it?
Yeah, so we were quite pleased that it works.
I think one of the things that I like about this car is all the safety features that you have in it. I often find when I'm in the car park at the local place where we go for shopping on a Saturday, and I'm in between two cars, I can't see anything coming. I'm trying to pull out. Next thing I know, there's a car coming along on one side, and there's no way I could have seen it, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. As you know, the new Leaf has that system. It'll detect the car... cars and pedestrians, so it will peep, and it'll give you a yellow light in the rear in the camera.
And do you find that's enough for you to do the reaction, or does the car do some of the reaction as well for you?
Well, I haven't had the situation yet where the car needed to brake. I can maybe test that with a friend, with a mate, ask them to come up pretty close to me to see if the car does brake or how the system reacts.
And just in case, you break your legs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, it wouldn't go down too well, that would it, really? So you've got more than one Leaf at home now, yeah?
We got the 30 kilowatt, and we're selling that one now. So the Nissan dealer is just prepping it for sale for us, and the market for used Leafs is very good here in Norway now.
Are you a one car family or a two car family though?
Yeah, one car, and this is our only car. Yeah, so this is our main car.
So the charge that you had in there already, was that a level a type one charger? And you have to change it to a type 2?
Yeah, you're going to laugh when you hear about my charging setup. You know, what I did is I took the charger that came with the old Leaf, and I just bolted that to my garage. And I've been using that for more than, 2 years without any problems whatsoever.
But the old Leaf had a type 1 charger, didn't it? And the new one has a type 2.
Type 2 being the Menikis plug, basically, yeah.
Did you have to change that then?
No, because what I just use the cable that came with the new Leaf. So I just use that as a charge, the main charger, because I have another charger that I bought from Sweden, which is a 16 amp charger, because the Leaf only comes with a 10 amp. So I bought an extra charger, which is 16 amps. So you're charging 60% quicker at a 220, 240 volt output, especially when you have, most places have 16 amps. So I'm charging at the 3.3 kilowatts.
I've noticed with the details for putting the charge into my garage, I need to put a thermal thing on it. You know, what they call a fuse thing on it for 32 amps.
Yeah, yeah. I've thought about having that done here, but the 16 amps is enough for me for my.
So how long would it take to charge that? A long time.
Usually, I come home around 4 or 5 and go to the shop. We're almost 6, and I plug the car in, and then it's at 90% usually early in the morning, but on the weekends, sleeping in a little bit, we always have a full battery when we get up.
Okay, that's fairly handy. One of the things I'm thinking about with the charging is the fact that I live up a hill, and what I want to do is I want to keep the charge below sort of 90, so that I have some regen braking on the way down the hill in the mornings.
Yeah. But that's not going to be a problem on the new car, because if you use the e-pedal, it'll still feel like you're having regenerative braking, but even though it's not regenerating at all.
Okay, so just automatically switch over to the friction brakes.
To the friction brakes, correct.
Yeah. So have you done a long journey with this new Leaf yet?
No, not yet. Not a long journey. We've done 180 kilometers in one way. That was like minus 11. That was the first weekend we had the car. We went up to the mountains to some cabin with some Norwegian friends, and we would never have made it on the 30 kilowatt.
Okay. Obviously, you knew there was going to be some charging there, so you'd be able to get some electricity for on the way back home again, yeah?
Yeah, there was a charger on the way up to the cabin, so we stopped at a Chatamo, and then we had to drive this long, windy mountain road in minus 11 degrees going up. It was probably a long half an hour ride going uphill, going up the mountain in lots of snow.
Does it use a lot more juice when it's going uphill like that?
Yeah, it's using a lot more juice. I think we charged to like 80%, and we probably used almost 30% battery just going up that hill.
That's not too bad
over
then.
Over the half an hour. It wasn't too bad because the battery was warm after the Chatamo charge, so the battery was around like 25, 26 Celsius.
In all your years of driving these electric vehicles, have you had a bad experience at all?
No bad experience. I mean, bad experience can be maybe in the beginning when you had people staying too long on the charger, charging to more than 80%, and trying to get 100% charge even though others are waiting, not knowing that they're not getting 40 kilowatts of juice, they're only maybe charging at 6 kilowatts from 90% to 100%.
Could be a long time waiting, couldn't it?
That was a little bit irritating. We ran out of battery once in minus 17 degree weather on the 24 kilowatt Leaf.
Oh dear. How did you deal with that?
So I had the wife next to me and a daughter in the back, so I had a piece of rope, a tow rope, ready in the car. Then some gentleman came by and he dragged us to the Chatamo charger, which was 500 meters away. We could even see it.
Well, it wasn't so bad then. When you sort of run out of juice, I mean, or whatever problem they have, are you allowed to actually tow the car?
Yeah, it's not a problem because the car just went was in neutral, basically. So they'll have it in neutral, and the gentleman just pulled it in neutral all over, down those 500 meters to the Chatamo, and we plugged it back in, and it started charging straight away.
I bet you took a big deep breath after that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Once you saw those blue lights flashing on the dashboard, it's like a heavenly moment, you know.
I suppose once you got the lights going as well, and you're plugged in and charging up, you've got some heat going in the car as well.
Yeah, exactly. But the good thing is I have a relaxed wife, so she wasn't too worried about it.
Tell me, with these places for charging up in Norway, with it being such a cold area, I mean, do you find that often there's a place where you can go and relax nearby, you know, a cafe or something, or a pub or
yeah,
whatever?
Yep. most places here are places where there you can top off with a cup of coffee or go to use the restrooms. Most McDonald's now have CHAdeMO chargers, quick chargers.
I would never eat in a McDonald's.
No. Either do we. Our stomachs don't approve it, but if that's what you fancy, you can always stop and have a Big Mac and maybe charge your car.
Absolutely, yeah. And what about with this car compared to the last one? You don't find that you need to turn the heating off to be able to get the extra kilometers out of it, or are you, or is that something you never did with the old car anyway?
No, I never did that with the old car. We only turned off the heating if we were like really, really pushing it. If we were uncertain about making it to a charger, those cases were quite few, luckily. But on this car, I just keep the heating on and with the family inside, 21 Celsius. But when I'm alone, I just have it on 16 Celsius, which is the lowest setting in automatic mode.
In Norway, there's so many electric vehicles, and you do a lot of renewable energy. Yeah. Is the electric cheap generally?
The electric here is not cheap. Me coming from Iceland, electricity is a lot more expensive here, but it is cheaper here than it is in the UK, for instance, per kilowatt of energy. I think I'm paying with everything like 90 cents, Norwegian cents per kilowatt at home, whatever that equates to in euros.
I don't know how that goes with euros, but still.
So it's, 0.095 euros per kilowatt.
0.095, that's cheap. Yeah. I mean, yeah. At the house here, I think we're paying around about 12 cents per kilowatt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you're paying considerably more.
I don't know what it's going to be like when we sort of go out traveling and have to start paying in at CHAdeMO charges, something like that.
Well, here we have to pay for them. It's not free. It's 2.5 Norwegian krones per kilowatt.
Are you finding that it's the cheapest way to run a vehicle?
It's a lot cheaper than buying petrol or diesel. It's a lot cheaper. And we can tell you that in the 4 years now that we've been using the Leaf, if we had to run our old car, which was a Ford Kuga, we would have had to use like 190,000 Norwegian krones in expenditures just for the diesel. And I can tell you how much that is. That's 20,000 euros. It has saved us.
Gosh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So the total cost of ownership is a joke compared to a petrol or diesel car.
Okay, so we've got the total cost of ownership and general sort of running of electric vehicles being really good. What about green issues? Is that something that you're interested in, and saving the planet as well as saving money?
I guess saving money was more of a initiative than saving the planet. Of course, we are very environmentally conscious household, especially living in Norway, since we have to put everything in its correct bin, whether it's plastic or metal or whatever it is. But I guess one becomes more aware of, once you own a vehicle like this, that how bad diesel is, specifically when you're in the queue on the motorway and there's a Volkswagen behind you, diesel gate, spewing fumes.
Judging by all the news that's going around at the moment about diesel, it looks like it's not quite dead yet, but it's quite sick and it's not going to last for too much longer.
No, I think it's in its death grip, I guess you can say, because there's being put into place here in Norway and many other countries in Europe tough regulations towards diesel, and there are certain days of the year where diesel cars aren't allowed. Okay, they're going to ban diesel cars in Oslo.
Okay.
Soon.
Yeah. There's plenty of cities. I think Barcelona at the moment, they've got something where on certain days, if the air is getting particularly bad, there are cars of certain types that are not allowed into the city on those days. And if they catch you in the city on those days, it's like a 100 euros fine, 50 of which you have to pay on the spot.
Yeah, it's quite strict. It's quite strict here also. I mean, there are days if it's very still out and there's lots of pollution, then they ban all diesel cars into the city.
Okay, I think that's great. That is, we want to see more of that, don't we?
Yeah, it is. We'll just see more and more of that happening.
So what about the rest of your family and friends? I mean, all are amazed by your electric vehicle experiences. Do they follow in you there, or are you just one of many? Because I mean, there's just so many Leafs going into Norway. It's amazing.
Well, you can say I'm still working in oil and gas. I was working for Aker Solutions, which is a big prominent company here in Norway in oil and gas. So I'm still in oil and gas. But I was the only one in my department that had an electric car. But now, basically, I would say 80% of the people had electric cars now in my department.
Mm-hmm. Did you help persuade any of them, or they just follow the trend anyway?
Yeah, it's just all these little chit chats in the cafeterias, talking about how good it is to own the car, not having any oil changes, zero maintenance costs, basically, and fun car to drive and easy car to maintain.
Did you take any of them out for a spin in the car?
All of them. Every single one of them.
Did you have to do that thing where you put the foot down and give them the smile?
Yeah, you know, you ask them to touch the front window, and as soon as they lean forward, you step on the accelerator and they get thrown back into the seat.
Sounds like fun, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's always going to be fun, yeah.
Yeah, I must give that a try, actually. I never thought about actually making it even better by telling them to touch the front window. Now, you've given me an idea there.
Yeah. I got that idea because one of my mates, who bought a Tesla, he got a P100D Ludicrous borrowed from the Tesla dealer here.
Yeah.
And he took me for a spin, and I think my neck has still some damages to it after the acceleration.
Yeah. Oh dear! But it was fun, though, wasn't it?
It's just crazy. It's crazier than any amusement ride that I've ever encountered. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. What's the sort of thing then you'd like to see change then to give everyone a sort of better experience of driving electric vehicles?
I think the biggest change will be when we have more like the 60 kilowatt batteries coming, or when people have at least 200 miles range. And the charging infrastructure is more, let's say, secure. Then we're going to see a lot of these late adopters going in for electric cars. We're seeing that happen here with friends here in Norway who would never have thought about an electric car 2 years ago. But now with the bigger range coming, the majority of our friends are thinking about electric cars now.
Have you ever got to a situation where you've got to a charging point and it was just broken, it wasn't working?
Yeah, that's happened. So we always have a plan B, and we have like a rule here. If we have to go to a charger, like we're driving to Lithuania, then we will make sure that we have at least 30 kilometers on the gum left.
Okay.
That's usually the plan.
So with that, you've got the extra bit that you need just to take advantage of plan B.
Yeah, let's say the gum says, like if I charge up at a charger and it says I have 100 kilometers to the next charger, so I will charge to 130.
Okay, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, so always a little bit 30 more than the gum says, even.
That's great, that is. I tell you what I was going to ask you as well. What about the favorite applications you use for finding the chargers?
I use, here in Norway, there's a special app called Charging Stations Norway, or we just use PlugShare.
Okay, I've heard PlugShare is pretty good. I haven't been able to try it sort of properly because I don't have my car yet, but...
PlugShare is very good. It's probably the best app for you out there.
Yeah, and another one I was looking at as well is one called Next Charge.
Yeah, I use that one too, but I find PlugShare to be the most reliable, most up to date, because a lot of the users there will they call it check in when they go to the charger, so you can see information when somebody charged last time. And then you can also contact them via PlugShare if you have any questions.
One of the things I like about PlugShare, and also with NextCharge they do as well, is where you can have make an itinerary or plan a journey. It works out pretty good. The only thing is that usually they give you, say, three different ways of getting to a place. But if it's a long sort of journey, it might be that those three different ways don't go exactly where you want to go. So you might have to break up the journey into small bits just to... just to get the right route that you want to take.
Yeah. What I have done now is I just done that in the past week or so is there's a site called EV Trip Planner. is basically made for Teslas, but you can make your own custom car in there.
Okay.
So you can like choose a 30. They have a Leaf as a default you can choose. So I chose a default and just changed the settings, and I've been fiddling with that until I'm comfortable with the kilowatts that is reporting the app or the site in actual usage. So I'm finding that to be quite valuable now, this EV trip planner, because it shows you the total kilowatts you will use, and you just give it the information, how fast you drive, the outside temperature, the internal cabin temperature, and the weight of the total passengers, roughly.
Okay, so making passengers stand on some weighing scales before they get in the car.
Yeah, exactly. Are you just have to leave them at home for the sake of range?
I'll tell you what you might know as well is that I know that you can't use the Tesla's chargers because they are specific, the superchargers, because they're specific to Tesla. Yeah. What about the Tesla destination chargers? I mean, they're only type 2, aren't they? I mean, can you use those in the Leaf?
We can use those now because that's basically just a Manicus to type 2 plug. So any hotel that has a Tesla destination charger, those we can use those.
Okay,
now.
That sounds great. That does.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's lovely. I've really enjoyed talking to you. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about your cars before we finish up?
Just some practical advice. Of course, I told you about the charging. One thing I will do to my new 40 kilowatt is to put the chrome pack on the sides.
Yeah.
And the only reason for that is not for cosmetic purposes, but is to protect the sides from stone chips, because we've seen cars here in Norway that don't have the chrome pack. They have slight paint issues on the bottom of the doors. So the chrome pack is really a good way of protecting the sides from minor stone chips.
Well, I suppose with the sort of wet roads and stuff like that, you're going to need that sort of thing, really, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the roads here tend to be in fairly good condition because we have dry conditions. And they don't sort of fall apart like I've seen roads fall apart in places like the UK or Ireland.
No, but here they're quite bad. And now after a bad winter, the roads are very bad, and you're always getting stones into your front windshield here.
Really? Oh, we don't get that much here.
Even on the highway.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been absolutely lovely talking to you, Haldor, and I've really enjoyed it. Do you have a website or anything like that where you can where we want to send some visitors for you?
No, I have no website, but you and I are friends on Facebook. So if you need me, you always know where you can find me. And if you need any tips or if I can help you with anything, I'm always ready.
I'm sure there's going to be lots of questions I want to have when I do get my car.
Don't worry, I'll be here.
Now I spoke to the salesman at the dealership a couple of days ago, and he seems confident that we'll get the car before the 13th of April. Which is the deadline that we have for the money, the extra €5,500.
Yeah.
As far as that money goes, I mean, some of it's going to get clawed back by the government, because when you put your tax declaration in and whatever you do it, I think it's in April.
Yeah.
They might say, okay, well, you've had €5,500 here, right? Let's give me back €2,500 of that. So it might only be sort of worth €3,000 to me anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Here in Norway, the only incentive is, well, basically, the governmental incentive is that there's no 25% sales tax on electric cars, like all other cars.
Well, that is a good incentive.
That's a very good incentive. So the car is basically 25% cheaper than what is considered normal. So the Teslas here are similarly priced like a loaded Passat.
Well, here we have to pay 21% VAT, EVA they call it.
Yeah,
be nice if they was to say, okay, no VAT on that. It would be great. I'd love that. I think if they did that, it'd be more difficult for them to claw it back as well.
Yeah, they tried to claw it back here, but they saw that it would kill the electric car market. So they're going to keep the incentive going for the unforeseen future, at least.
What percentage of cars on the road in Norway are electric now, do you think?
I read somewhere that last year, the end of last year, 30% of all cars were either electric or hybrid.
That's really good going, that is.
Now they're talking about this year, it's like almost 50%.
I don't see many electric car, full electric car here. I see one or two the plug-in hybrids.
Yeah.
Mostly Toyotas.
hears nothing about electric cars basically now, which is a good thing.
My last drive into Barcelona, I did see two BMW i3s.
Yeah.
They're fairly easy to spot.
Yeah.
Once in Girona, I saw a Leaf, the old style Leaf, obviously, that was the first one I've seen here in the country, out in the wild.
You'd be amazed coming here to Norway. There's the amount of electric cars on the roads.
I'll have to make a trip there one day because it'd be nice to go up there. But the only thing is, I'd have to go up there in winter time because I work all the during the summer. I'm not sure I fancy going there. It'd be too cold in the winter for me.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime. In the winter time, maybe you can catch the Northern Lights.
Yeah, my wife would love that. She'd love to see the Northern Lights. Thank you very much. It's been absolutely marvellous talking to you. And really, I'm very jealous of your car, but enjoy it anyway.
You'll have yours soon, so no worries.
Okay, fingers crossed here.
Much appreciated.
Okay, bye-bye now. Take care of yourself. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the EV20Q podcast. And if you could do us a favour now by just telling a few of your friends about the podcast and maybe leaving a review and a rating on the iTunes or whatever way that you do your listening. I've got this podcast now on TuneIn, so you can listen there as well. And I'm hoping to get it onto Google Play sometime soon and even Spotify if I can. So that's all for now. Bye-bye now. Talk to you again soon.